One of the gifts that I'm given as a priest is I get to sit with Scripture. And sometimes I have to sit with Scripture and I ask myself the question, God, what in the world does this mean? The reading that we had from the Book of Wisdom, which is the last of the Old Testament books to be written, about 200 years before Jesus, in this chapter 12 that we heard from today, I pondered this one verse all week. When I read it on Monday for the first time, I said to myself, I have no idea what this means. But in that I'm going to preach on it now, hopefully over the last 5 days, I've been given some insight that I can now share with you. So here's the verse that I want to focus on with you this afternoon. For you, and the you here is of course God, for you show your strength when people doubt the completeness of your power, and you rebuke any insolence amongst those who know it. Let me read that again. For you show your strength when people doubt the completeness of your power, and you rebuke any insolence among those who know it. Now let's look at these two phrases from this verse and see how the parables in today's gospel will help us to understand what I have just quoted. So let's begin to unpack that first clause. For you show your strength when people doubt the completeness of your power. God shows his strength to those who question his power, to those who maybe wonder about God's involvement in the world. As I reflected on this, I said, boy, is this ever comforting to know. Because this is the theme at play in our first parable. The story of the wheat that has the weeds sown among them that leads the workers in the field to say, Mr. Farmer, I thought you had sowed good wheat in your field. Where did these weeds come from? And here's the striking thing. They think, well, we should get rid of those weeds right now. And the farmer says, no, we've got to let them continue to grow together. Because here's the thing about this particular kind of weed. It's called a darnel weed. And in the Middle East, the weed looks very much like the wheat. It's hard to tell them apart. And so the farmer says, no, we've got to let them grow until the harvest. And then at harvest time, I'll separate the weeds from the wheat. I don't know about you, but I hate this. I mean, it's so messy, right? It makes life so difficult. It means that there's this coming together of the good and the bad, and it sometimes seems that the bad wins, that the bad triumphs, that the bad is greater than the good. And so people can at times question God's power. But now listen again to our verse. For you show your strength when people doubt the completeness of your power. Now, the question is, how does God show his strength to people who have doubts? How does God show his strength to people who have doubts? And we need to look at the next part of this reading from Wisdom for the answer. Listen to these words. Your sovereignty over all causes you to spare all. Although you are sovereign in strength, listen to this, you, God, judge with mildness and with great forbearance you govern us, for you have power to act whenever you choose. In other words, God, you could act in whatever way you wanted to because you're God. But what does Wisdom, the very last book of the Old Testament that was written, teach us? That God shows his power through his mercy. His sovereignty and strength are expressed through his willingness to spare us, to treat us with mildness. Wow, that's beautiful when you allow it to take place in your mind and your heart. The God that we worship is the God of clemency, the God of mercy. Now, this theme of God's mercy, listen how it's expressed in the psalm that we heard today, that we shared in together. This portion of Psalm 86, it's the same theme. Here is God's strength. For you, O Lord, are good and forgiving, Listen, abounding in mercy to all who call to you. For you are great and do wondrous things. You alone are God. In other words, God, you can do whatever you want because you're God. But again, listen to the psalmist. But you, O Lord, are a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in mercy and faithfulness. Twice the psalm verses say, God is abounding in mercy. Wow. God shows his strength to those who doubt the completeness of his power by the clearest expression of his love. That is the theme of Wisdom and Psalm 86. For you see, God's mercy does not temper God's power, but God's mercy is the expression of God's power. God's mercy and kindness, God's forgiveness, are not merely added to his power, but they lie at the heart of God's power. Think about it this way. What is the strongest power in the world? It is love that is unselfish. It is goodwill. It is that which is the strongest force in the world. And we have Jesus to illustrate this for us. Think about it this way. The most powerful deed that was ever accomplished in history was the supreme act of love and mercy. God incarnate offering his own life on the cross, his body and blood, letting himself be tortured and murdered to save us from our sins. And of course, the people on Good Friday said, if you have power, come down from the cross. Why did Jesus not come down from the cross? Because of his mercy, because of his clemency, because of his love. And this is at the very heart of our Catholic faith. It is the cross that is at the very heart of the universe. Think about it this way. The Big Bang itself, which, by the way, was first postulated by a Roman Catholic priest in 1928, Father Georges Lemaître, the Big Bang itself is the deed that created the universe about 13.7 billion years ago. But the Big Bang is not more powerful than the crucifixion, because the Big Bang only gave us earth. The cross gave us heaven. The Big Bang only gave us earth. The cross gave us heaven. The story's told of the wind and the sun, that they were arguing with one another about who was more powerful in the way they could influence humankind. The wind said to the sun, I'll show you. I can blow so hard that I'll blow a man's clothes off of his body and make him naked. So he tried. He blew harder and harder, harder and harder. But the harder the wind blew, the more the man hugged his clothes to his body. And they stuck to him like glue. And then the sun said to the wind, step aside. I'm going to show you how it's done. And what did the sun do? The sun, in turn, simply came out. And the warm man was so warm that he gradually took off his clothes one by one by his own free choice. This is the lesson of the Book of Wisdom. God does not show his power like the wind. He shows his power like the sun. And that brings us to the next part of the verse that I quoted from the Book of Wisdom. And you rebuke any insolence among those who know it. Who know what? Who know God's power. And we're told that he rebukes any insolence. What is insolence? It's an excessive confidence and boldness. It's the wind which presumes upon God, so that such people who might be religious, they lack mercy and compassion in their own lives, and they might even try to manipulate others through religious authoritarianism and control. Some of the worst forms of abuse is religious abuse, when leaders pronounce God's name in a way that intimidate and overwhelm people like a gale force wind. In order to address this distorted view of power, Jesus tells the second and third parables in today's gospel. Now, you've probably heard the parable of the mustard seed for years. And this is how I used to think of it. What a lovely little story. Here's a little seed, and it grows, and it becomes a big tree, and it's such a beautiful tree that all of the birds come and they make their nests in its branches. That is so sweet. It's not that. Do you know what a mustard tree is? It's a weed. It's a big weed. It would grow to be 10 feet tall, but no one in Palestine had an orchard of mustard trees. No, you wanted to try to get rid of mustard trees because they were pernicious, they were invasive, and no one liked them. But the seed is so small, it's going to continue to grow and grow and grow, and it's going to get bigger and bigger. And Jesus says, this is what my kingdom's like. For so many people, they look at the kingdom of God and they say, man, that is one big weed, but we can't seem to get rid of it. So often people misunderstand the kingdom. They think, oh, it's going to be beautiful. It's going to be lovely. It's going to be like a big Lebanon cedar tree. And Jesus says, no, it's not. It's more like a mustard tree. But here's the point of the parable, that even though that's the case, even though in the perspective of the world that the church and the kingdom look unimpressive, God is using this particular community to work his remarkable healing. What a beautiful image. The birds in this symbolism actually refer to the Gentiles. And so Jesus is saying that not only the Jews, but the Gentiles themselves are going to come and make their nests in its branches. I baptized this afternoon two school-aged children, and one of them, his name is Brandon, he's 9. And I mentioned that there are 1.2 billion Catholics in the world today. And Brandon's eyes went like this. He said, what? No way! Well, granted, they're not all on church on Sunday, but they identify themselves as Catholic. But here's the point. It started with 12. It started with 120 in the upper room. And here we are today. We're part of this pernicious weed called the mustard tree, and it's part of God's kingdom. Well, what about the leaven mixed with flour? Now, here's the thing. We're told here that there are 3 measures of flour. That's equivalent to 60 pounds of flour. That's a lot of flour, 3 measures of flour. And what's added to the flour? Yeast. Now, if you were Jewish and you heard this parable, you would say, that is the dumbest story ever. Because for the Jewish people, do you know what yeast represented? Sin. And so Jesus is telling a story about sin. And he says, my kingdom is like this. It's like people who are sinful and they're mixed with this flour and they become something else. What in the world is that about? The flour represents God's grace. The flour represents God's abundant mercy. And when sinners like me and you come under the influence of his mercy, our yeast is transformed. And we become something different from what we could be before. But this does not call of us a kind of arrogance, a kind of presumption, a kind of way of insolence. No, this calls us to a profound type of humility. So here's the application for tonight's homily. When we think of the weeds in the first parable, and when we think of the yeast in the third parable, these represent your imperfections, my imperfections. It represents our sin. The church is composed of people who are called to struggle against sinful tendencies so as to lead virtuous lives. We are on the path of holiness, but we have not yet arrived. This means that we are to live as those who are to bring our doubts. We are to bring our struggles to Jesus and to share them with him and with one another. Now, what happens to a community that is learning to live this way? Well, listen to how our reading from Wisdom ends. This is the last verse. Through such works, that is, the works of God's mercy, you have taught your people, please listen to what I'm about to say, you have taught your people that the righteous must be kind, that the righteous must be kind. And you filled your children with good hope because you, God, give repentance for sins. Isn't that lovely? To be close to God is to be kind. It's to live with hope because you and I know that what God wants is our repentance so that we can grow in trusting in the completeness, of his merciful power. To experience God's mercy, therefore, finds us enfolded in the dough of grace, so that as we know forgiveness in our lives, we can be a hopeful people. And then do you know what kindness is? Can you smell it? It's the aroma of baking bread. Kindness is the aroma of baking bread. This is what today's readings would want us to learn. I'm so thankful that this verse that I'd never known before from the Book of Wisdom is one that I will never now forget. And I hope you too will be inspired by what God's living word has taught us today.